You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The base is loaded and one out.
Oh, my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam.
Hello and welcome in, everyone, to episode 182 of the Bases Loaded Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Kurland. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Kurland. Tonight, joined as always by George, who you can follow on Twitter at Roto_Nino. And that's all that matters. We can move on. Oh, hey, Mike. What's up, Simeon? SP Streamer is joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at SP Streamer. I hate him, but I deal with him. What's up, man?
Follow me, but block Kurland.
This is fun, man. We've come full circle.
That's advice to live by. That's advice to live by. Just follow me, block the host. Yeah, I'm a terrible host. Nobody else wants to do it. And yes, George, we've come full circle. Simeon got his starts on this podcast, and look, he came crawling
again.
Came crawling.
Oh, boy. Ago, it
was. He came crawing back. That's all. I just want to emphasize.
Let's move on with what we're going to talk about here.
Yeah. Well, of course, you're on the show. It just happens to be starting pitchers what I brought up because I feel bad. I need to throw you a bone because I know you're terrible at everything else. So we're going to talk starting pitching tonight, and we're going to go over the top 20. And we looked up the NFBC ADP because that's the only ADP source we have right now in December because we're degenerates, and I've drafted in four leagues. I know you guys have drafted in a handful. I think George is up to five. Those gladiators getting the best of you guys, but we are going to talk about the top 20 ADP according to Draft Champions Leagues, and we're going to discuss guys we like, guys we don't like, and maybe a pitcher or two outside the top 20 we think can sneak into the top 20. But I dropped my pen before we get started. This is Bases Loaded. It's of the Gaining the Edge Fantasy Network. It's an unofficial network, but we're going to call it a network, right guys? Don't forget, we have our Patreon. It's patreon.com/GTE fantasy, the letters GTE fantasy, where Mike dropped his top, what is it, 244, because you wouldn't go up to 250 for me.
It's actually and 243,
your top 243 pitchers with notes. Labor of love to have that done in December. You're almost as good as Nick Pollock.
Better. He didn't have notes like I did.
Oh, gotcha. What else? Oh, we just dropped catcher rankings. George, I, and Bubba got our consensus catcher rankings up, but we can't have a consensus number until Simeon gets his put in. So we have catcher rankings 40 deep from three out of us four. But to be fair, Simeon does have 243 pitchers ranked, and we don't have that. So a little give and take there, I'll admit. However, that's what we have going on right now. We have the Discord, all that, and more. Come check us out on patreon.com/GTEfantasy. We have a new partner. We'll announce the new year, actually. So that's going to be fun and exciting. So look out for that. Now, that's out of the way. Let's jump into the top 20 pitchers. And I'm not going to count Otani as a pitcher.
Wait, we don't want to talk about signings at all or anything real quick?
Are we going to go into signing? I feel like
just like a little bit.
Here's the thing. I look at it like this. We know DeGrom's going to be an ace no matter what. We know Verlander's probably going to be an ace no matter what. If your concern's about them, are age related or health related, that doesn't change based on where they landed. So your preconceived notion of them doesn't change based on these signings. DeGrom gets a better ballpark and division outside of the Astros, really. And I love what the Rangers are doing. He needed the Astros to the Rangers is more interesting to me, because at least can we see maybe what he picked up in LA translate over to Texas with a good ballpark?
You stay on the
yeah, well, him and Taiwan right. here, Mike. Here, you want to talk about signings? Taiwan Walker to the Phillies, right? Before yeah. we started, we yeah. talked about him being like a bet, like a what we called him better a better Gibson. Version, better Kyle Gibson. So he does like he flashes upside, but I feel like we know what he is. And
what do you think about Haniger to San Fran?
We'll talk about that in a second too. But it's what I'm saying. It's like what I'm getting at.
I mean,
is
yeah, I like it.
Well, of course, as fans, but this isn't a fan show. This is a fantasy show. Of course, you're happy you got Verlander because you missed out on DeGrom. I think I'd rather have Verlander for 2 years than DeGrom for five, to be honest, if I'm a competing team after seeing how DeGrom's health has been. Like, I know DeGrom's – I think DeGrom's the better pitcher. Think DeGrom's the better pitcher. I do think he's the better pitcher. I just don't think – I don't trust the health. Sadly, I trust the 40-year-old Verlander's health. He came back from TJ and did fine outside of, like, what, a dead arm period, I think it was, or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm afraid he, like, got his last contract down and he's just not going to really care as much.
Maybe. Or maybe he won't, you know, and well, he already got his ring and stuff, so there's that.
There's, like, nothing else for him to play for at this point.
Well, you think Scherzer's going to let him not try? Come on. You got Scherzer. Scherzer will run. We'll make them. But you have like the AARP lead of this league. But yeah, the Phillies, bad. Man, I love what the Phillies did getting Trey. But I don't even care. Like, I think they got a decent deal for Trey, all things considered. It's the fact that they got Trey Turner, the fact that they got Taiwan Walker. I think they're loading up on a team that's already solid and should compete. No reason why they can't. If they add a few more little depth pieces, maybe a couple of bullpen arms. What? Harper's probably out for half a year, but Harper comes back and this team is loaded from top to bottom.
Yeah, and it's been a wild day today, at least personally, with, you know, we had Giants had Aaron Judge for like 2 minutes, and then
that happened at the exact same time that whole thing dropped about the baseballs being different, but then the Yankees getting all the good baseballs, right, yeah. And yeah. So I feel like that's all that was like a, hey, we need to distract the public from this stupid article that just went out that really shows that that MLB is manipulating everything. They were dictating where these balls went. They knew where the balls would go at certain times and who was there to like dictate which balls go where. And it was a whole thing. So that in a day and age where betting is so heavily invested, people are not just fantasy, but like there's a whole bunch of stuff in terms of off the field, like money being thrown around, that the MLB has such a heavy say so in something like which ball goes to which park for which game. That's huge news, and it's barely being talked about outside of fantasy baseball Twitter and baseball Twitter.
I just don't know why the MLB decides the ball. Why don't they mess with like things that are easier to control, like the mound? Like, lower the mound. You want more offense? Lower the mound. Or move it back. Or do something like that, as opposed to playing with the ball and doing a million different things, trying to figure out what's going to get them the result they want. Like, yeah, more offense, just do something like that. Why are you going to play?
Or, I don't know. Here's an idea. How about we ban the shift and give them bigger bases? Oh, we got that.
Yeah. Right. I think this year in particular with the baseball, I think it's so on brand for MLB. I think it was pretty much like just chasing this home run, you know, record story with Aaron Judge. We saw the graph on the story by insider.com with the, you know, slightly juice balls being used in Yankees games and postseason games. And so I think it was a way to, you know, of course, just try to get some momentum going with that story and help, you know, maybe Aaron Judge set the home run record and put the whole steroid thing behind them. It just makes sense. It sucks, but it's so on brand for MLB to do.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating because we thought we didn't know anything and we were right, but it was one of those things where we couldn't quite prove it. You know what I mean? I was texting you about this, Mike, where it's like we just couldn't prove it, but we always knew we couldn't really predict what was going to happen. And this just proves to us like that we really have no idea. Any, like, we think we can try to get an idea of who's going to do better this year, who's going to do what, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. Now they obviously have so much control over the game that we, in the smallest of aspects of the fact that they're dictating which balls go to which game for which time and all that, that blows my mind. How do you bet on games like that? How do you project forward players gaining and losing production? And like if Nelson Cruz was playing for the Yankees last year, does he hit 30 home runs regardless of how his eyes were because he's with like hitting the right balls, or, you know what I mean, just weird things like that. Like, I'm just throwing things out there. You just don't know. And that's frustrating because our what we do as analysts or we're trying to project forward. We're trying to take this information, you know, conjure up like an outcome of like this is what I think is going to happen based on this, this, and this. But hey, yeah. Guess what? Let's just take it all, throw it in the air.
Tell you what, how sad is it that they had the juice balls and Josh Johnson was still a piece of garbage all season?
Yeah, that's a good point. It sucks too because like stuff like this always comes out, and like I don't want to take anything away from like Aaron Judge, right? The guy, like, he had an incredible year MVP, and I don't want anyone to like cheapen that at all with this story.
Yeah, you can.
Ohtani just got ripped off now. Like, I feel bad for Ohtani. Ohtani did it with a dead ball. What's up now?
Yeah. It sucks, man.
My thing is because it's not like Judge knew about it. Maybe he did. Maybe he's like, yeah, I'll take this because I know I'm about to get paid. But yeah, I doubt he did. But in all reality, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like they almost manufactured this headline, you know, like to try to bring excitement back to baseball. And I get it, but it sucks because now you're gonna have people giving this whole thing an asterisk where Judge's power is not something to be questioned. The dude can hit 60 home runs like he did, regardless of the ball. And it wasn't like a super juiced ball from it seems like. It just seems like this perfect like balance in between dead and juiced. Yeah. They were calling it the Goldilocks, go figure. Real original. It was one of those things where it's like, I just think you gave him a ball that was like an even field ball, even playing field ball, and he did what he did with it. So I don't know. It's aggravating. It was only the home games, so it wasn't like he all season. So I mean, if we look at his splits, I'm curious how many home runs he had at home. We're getting down a whole other rabbit hole, but I have to know, like, because I remember reading it was the home games. I'm pretty sure the Yankees home games. So we can't sit there and say all of his home.
Yeah,
games.
It was Yankee home game.
So I don't understand.
Yeah, but it was July, I think. July
when he started. When he started chasing the when it got close. I mean, he had, let's see, home away 32 and 30. He had more away. He had 32 away and 30 at home.
Yeah, but so, I wonder if he had more at home halfway through the.
Yeah, I don't know if I can. I'm trying to think.
It doesn't matter. I mean, he's still going to be the best power hitter.
No, I know, and I don't think no matter where he goes. So what? He hits 40 instead of 60. We all kind of assumed 40 was more realistic than 60 or even 50.
Yeah, no one's banking on 60.
But still, it's frustrating. All right, so now, do you feel better now? Do you feel better that we talked about some of the stuff now? Like,
yeah, I feel a little better now.
The same thing every other podcast is going to talk about, where we're all just same stuff, because there's nothing else to talk about. This, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, let's get into these pitchers, shall we? Ohtani's not just the pitcher, so at one, that's where his ADP's at, because he gets picked because of the dual eligibility. If you play in any type of format where you get daily moves, you can utilize them both ways. He's the number one pick. There's no questions asked, no argument there. So let's get beyond him to the actual pitchers here, just pitchers. Burns, Cole, would you still put them by themselves, Simeone? Do you think that there's somebody else that maybe should be belonging in that group? How do you feel about the top of that?
Yeah, no, I think they belong.
All by myself.
Like you're going to get the end of drafts, I think. You know, one of those two are always the first round.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. Pitching is getting pushed down this year so far. ADP of these guys, pretty much 15, 16, 17, like in that range, 15 to 17. They're not like last year. And don't get me wrong, as drafts get going, injuries happen, stuff like that, you're going to see these guys get picked third, fourth, fifth overall, like we've seen in years past. But I'm noticing pitching is getting pushed down. Are people reacting to last year with offense being down that people are going hitter heavier first, maybe?
I think that we kind of touched on it on the last episode, where we're seeing like later in drafts, like it's not so much that like there's just bad hitters, it's playing time really that we're chasing, because the later in drafts we go, the harder it is to find full-time at bats. And so I think just with the depth of pitching that there is, I think that's what's pushing, you know, hitters, early hitters up, and maybe those SPs down a bit, just because it is a bit deep. And I think it's a little easier right now to find decent starting pitchers little later than it is to find like full playing time. So I think that has something to do with it. And then going back to Cole, just to touch on like the story we mentioned with the, you know, how we might have found another factor in why he might have struggled in the second half. First half home ERA was 2.09. Second half home ERA was 5.15. So I mean, he was just getting lit up at home second half. So
I bet you, do you have the home run per nine there?
It was like 1.7 in the second half at home.
I think, George, you broke it. Way to go. Way to go, George. I'm proud of you, buddy. You've solved the case. All right. Anyway.
George was on it.
Going back to the whole pitcher, there's more depth there. At least there's more perceived depth there as the rounds go on. I agree. But are we overemphasizing that depth? Because we don't know how the band of the shift is going to play on these pitchers. I think you and I talked about this, George. Simeone, what is your take on that? Has that altered your draft prep and how you're attacking pitchers early on in drafts right now?
Yeah, I'm kind of going opposite of everybody. I mean, it's tough. You could see it either way. Kind of like what George said, there's, you know, not as many hitters, it seems like, this year. Outfield seems more shallow than usual. And pitching seems like there's a lot more pitching there later on. But yeah, I'm afraid that because of, you know, how little offense there was this season, and MLB clearly trying to gear towards more offense, that these pitchers who we think are good and would be good for our rotation in the, you know, I want to say like later rounds, up to late rounds, might not actually be that good anymore next season because of all the changes. And with that, so with my mindset is I actually think that the higher end pitchers are probably going to be more important than I think. And so if I'm at the end of the draft, I actually have been double tapping starters. If I'm at the beginning, I've been going like a hitter, and then I've been going. So gotcha. I've been doing opposite of what everyone else is doing.
How do you feel about closers early in drafts right now? Again, formats are, I want to emphasize how dependent format is. We right now, these are leagues that there are no waiver wires, there's no trades. So you have to keep that in mind. And I think that's where our mindset is at because of these early drafts. So I want to emphasize that because I feel like last year when we talked about closers, we didn't emphasize the format type when it came to how to attack closers. Everybody was talking closer early, and it was because of the format. So right now, considering the formats, again, these are draft champions. So these are draft and holds, no waiver claims, no trades. Are you a closer early type of guy? I know I'm getting a little off topic here, but I noticed, you know, closers are kind of piled into the ADP right now.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, it doesn't matter what format. I'm sticking with I want to get at least one elite pitcher, and then I'll take like some flyers later on, just kind of hope they hit, whether it's Fab or, but I think it's very important to get at least one lockdown.
Do you have a name you want to throw out there, or do you want to keep that to yourself in terms of a flyer that you like?
Not specifically really. No, I feel like I have a couple Fairbanks, but I know that's like a disaster. But no, not specific.
Well, I know for me personally, like one of my go-to, and I think I have them on all four teams because I'm done drafting for a little bit. I really am. I want to focus on getting some content out and kind of get things going on other ends. So I'm going to tweet it out. So I have no problem admitting to it, but I'm pretty sure I have David Robertson on all four teams because I really am assuming he's going to sign one of those deals with like a terrible team to be their closer for at least the first.
Maybe the Rangers get him too.
Well, then that's going to piss me off because I don't know if he closes there. I would assume he does.
I think he does.
But I think at the end of the day, we saw what he did last year. He's going around pick 300. He's been an instant scoop every draft because of that. I'm like, I see a clear path to closing for him because he's not going to sign. I don't think he signs somewhere and doesn't close. The Pirates might go get him the way Pirates are signing scraps to see what they can get. Even for the Pirates, they have Bednar. But I feel like Bednar would fall back into that role that they like him in. So even for the Pirates, I think David Robertson would close for them. So he's been a guy that I have. I'm pretty sure I'm 4-for-4 with him. I got to double check that. But I've been pretty open, at least in our group chat, about how much I want him, at least with you, George, actually, maybe not even the group chat. Just I've been texting you about him because I'm like, I need a closer. And I'm like, okay, he makes a good third closer, potentially. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way as far as my closer strategy. Like, I want to get one by the time we get to Kenley Jansen at 90, because he's similar. Like, wherever he signs, he's going to close. So I want one guy who I could count on for at least 30 saves. And then late in drafts, I'm taking, like, Kyle Finnegan. Just because you know he's going to close, if you can, you know, probably bank on maybe a dozen to 15 saves until he's traded, could be the case. But you know he's going to close, so yeah, I'll take in like Finnegan.
You know a move I am really bad with the focus tonight. You know a move we didn't discuss, and it's just on my brain because the content's in front of me. But the Cody Bellinger move, I just want to bring that up real quick. And again, it makes no sense why this popped into my head.
It's pretty forgettable.
It is. Maybe that's what it is. New mechanics. We saw the video surface. New mechanics, or at least, you know, tinkering with them. New atmosphere. Same results, though. I'm thinking, I guess if the Dodgers couldn't fix them or figure it out, I have a hard time believing anybody else can. But it's a palatable ADP. It's the best way to put it. It's not something, he's not a guy I'm going out of my way to necessarily make sure I get. But I have a couple of shares just because the ADP, it's like the skill set paired with the early price. I think he's going around pick 175 to 200 range. And that price is appealing to me considering how bad outfield is. I'm usually getting him as like my third outfielder. So he's right in that range of like upside meets opportunity meets like scarcity. But I'm not even happy about it. Like last year I was completely out. This year it's like I'm just appealed because I think price and skill set, because he still has power and speed regardless of if he hits 200. So that's why it's like, how do you ignore the guy that's going to get you double digit of both? I don't know. Maybe I need to get just stop drafting him again. Cause last year I was out and I was right. Do I really, why not double down? Right.
I don't know. I honestly don't really know what to think. I mean, he's at about 1100 plate appearances now of hitting under 240.
Yeah. I think outside of that one big half his MVP year, I don't think he's ever hit like above 260 in like a half a season or a season. It's weird. Like he had that really big first half that carried the second half batting average of his MVP year. That's Cody Bellinger we're talking about. Okay, back to this stuff. sorry, I had to just bring that up because I'm like, huh, what? Like, you know, the curious case of, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
poor guy. Rooting for him, but I'm not really too optimistic. Anyway, so Dylan Cease and Alcantara come off the board next. No, sorry, Alcantara first and Dylan Cease. I think we all agree with Dylan Cease, but Simeone, you have your apprehension with Alcantara's price, don't you?
I do.
Is it? It's the strikeouts, right? Like it's the. I know. We all believe in the innings and all that, but it's the lack of strikeouts that you have issues with, right?
Yeah. So, it's just that he's such a compiler. There's nothing, you know, showing us that he's going to become suddenly injury prone. But I feel like just banking on a starter that early, just assuming that they're automatically going to hit 220 innings, is kind of risky in my eyes. I don't have him much later. I will say I only have four starters later, but yeah, I think there's people are taking him out of ceiling.
You have any thoughts about that? Cause you've always been a pro Alcantara guy, right, George?
Yeah. Yeah. I still like Sandy. I mean, I don't mind it. I guess, you know, you kind of just maybe a little apprehension on taking a guy that just, you know, tossed 220 innings off of, you know, his career year. But no, I mean, I think he's still got two like really good secondary offerings. Like the changeup had 18% swing and strike rate. The slider, we saw what the slider did in the second half of 2021 and last year. It was just almost 15%. I'm, you know, maybe with the shift band, maybe does he lean on those a little bit more? I still think that there's maybe just a tad like more there as far as the strikeouts. I think there's a little bit more potential still there. And obviously he's going to be one of the best bets for, you know, the highest volume. So no, I still really like Sandy.
I just don't, it's the wins, the lack of win potential there for me. Especially now that division continues to get better. Now I know there's less divisional games this year with the whole, like spreading out the whole thing. So I guess that's not as much of a factor anymore, but spread, you know, how they're spreading out the whole schedule and all that, but I don't know. I'm in this weird like middle ground just because I see Alcantara. Jesus, like, you would think,
yeah,
I know
it's Alcantara.
That's Alcantara. I've said his name wrong like first five times. Like I've never said his name before. Like I don't watch the Marlins. Actually, I don't. I'm blacked out. I can't watch the Marlins because I'm blacked out. It's fantastic, and I don't have any basic cable. So yes. Anyway, but like I see guys like Shane McClanahan and Brandon Woodruff going after him, and I have a hard time.
Yeah,
taking Alcantara over them, and that's where my issue is. So McClanahan, I understand the issues with the potential for injury, the slowing down the second half, you know, kind of dealt with some issues. But Woodruff, I don't understand why there's this hate here. This, and you even tweeted about it, this third round Woodruff is a gift from the fantasy gods right now.
He was going at the turn at the first second round turn last year, and I mean he struggled in April, but pretty much after April he was the same Brandon Woodruff that we've seen the last few years. I tweeted about like him returning from the injured list. He had Raynaud syndrome, like some nerve issue on his fingertips. Doesn't seem like something that's going to be like chronic or anything to like really worry about. But yeah, basically after June 28th, he had 109 and two thirds innings, 2.38 ERA, 1.0 WHIP, 137 strikeouts, was second to just Gerrit Cole in that time, and 14.5% swing and strike rate. I mean, I'm almost thinking like, can Woodruff just, is he every bit as good as Corbin Burns there? I mean, we saw Burns kind of struggle, slow down in the second half too. If I pass on Burns, I'm looking at Woodruff.
I don't understand why Woodruff isn't the SP3 or the, mm-hmm. I mean, at worst case SP4. And not only that, I feel like he's starting to trend up. Like, his strikeout rate saw a nice uptick last season. And he has a 2.84 ERA over the last, I think, three seasons. Sub-3 ERA in the last three combined. And I think he's starting to lean on his changeup more as opposed to one of his fastballs. And I just think he's, like, evolving and becoming even better of a potential. So I think it's a – I'm baffled but happy that he's – You know, I think maybe as time goes on, though, he'll move up and he surpasses him.
Yeah.
But right now, yeah, he's a steal.
Yeah. Personally, I would take him over Sandy.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do something on this. This is going to be really funny if I can make this happen.
I would take six starters over. Are you trying to play Eric's video?
I am.
I already watched it. Did you?
Oh, God. That's hilarious. I will figure this out before the show's over because people need to hear this. I will figure this out. I haven't played on this. I have the technology to actually sync my phone to the thing, so I will.
And it's true.
I have the technology.
Eric made a video saying, did you know
Don't you ruin it. Eric Cross is a great friend of the show.
I currently have the Min Kelnick.
You can't get ahead of this. It's not fair.
It was funny.
Well,
you're struggling, so.
I am struggling. I'm so upset right now. You have no idea how upset I am that I can't seem to get this to work right now. Anyway, all right. Moving on to... See, now this is a very divisive pick, I feel like. Spencer Strider, I'm pretty optimistic he can take that step forward. I know innings are a little bit of a concern, especially because we saw him slow down at the end of the season. And, you know, kind of, I think he had velo dip in the playoffs, too, like after a couple innings. So I'm sure he'll be strong and ready to go at the beginning of the year. But just like, you know, actually, I want to circle back to McClanahan, too, real quick. But Strider, sky's the limit. I just don't know. Do we see that Shane McClanahan step up this year? But he already kind of pitched a lot. I don't know. It's this weird area. Who has the most confidence in him? I think Simeon. I think that's you, right?
What? It's Strider?
Yeah, you feel
I'm actually Strider, right? I'm below consensus. He's SP7. I have him at 9.
Oh, okay. I thought you were in on him. I apologize. Never mind. I mean, you're still like, you thought you were high on him at the time too. That's the thing.
I thought I was going to be because a couple other people put out their ranks and they had him low, but apparently people draft and love him more. So.
Yeah, no kidding. I think it's just that early hype from, you know, the dude was an absolute stud.
I mean, he's amazing.
Do you agree with,
you know,
sorry, go ahead.
Smaller sample. You know, I don't know. You know, Thor's really hard. There's obviously injury risk that comes with that. So I don't know. But I think sometimes people get a little too worried about how he only has two pitches. He has a third that's pretty good, but he just never had to use it. So. I think he's a very complete pitcher. I just think there's just a little more risk there than I guess people are themselves.
I think I have it connected. No, you can't hear it. No.
Just give up on it.
I can't. It's so funny. Now it's ruined, but I really wanted to play it.
Focus on the actual podcast, maybe, and then yeah.
Never. Come on, man.
I'm just plug it into your mic at the end.
I can do it.
Your phone.
I might have to. Yeah, I might have to do it that way. I'm really annoyed though. I thought I had it, man. I thought I had it. I connected it. I got the Bluetooth going from here to this, but now for some reason it's not playing the sound back. Now I need to have this set up on my phone again. What happened was I was actually on Fantasy Pros podcast as a guest, and my phone was connected to this. I didn't mute my phone, and it rang in the middle of the podcast, and it actually showed up on their audio. So that's when I turned it off. So yeah. No one cares, I know, but I thought I'd share. Anyway, I'm just really annoyed. I'm really annoyed it just happened. Whatever. I'll figure it out. Anyway, let's get to this. So DeGrom behind Strider. That feels like Nola, I have a hard time taking behind both of them, personally. Do you guys disagree with that? Like, do you think Strider belongs ahead of DeGrom and Nola, George?
I don't – it's tough because, I mean, you look at Strider and what he did. I mean, the skills are just incredible. I think really it's just like Simeon said, it's that risk of, you know, how many more innings can you really expect? And a young kid throwing, you know, as hard as he does, like we've seen it time and time again with the injury risk. So that might be just a little reason to, you know, maybe wait a few picks, see if he falls or something. Yeah, I'm sure I'll have some Strider because I just watching him is just incredible. He's awesome. But yeah, I could see the risk there. And I guess same with DeGrom, right? That's like the whole story there.
Yeah, I have Nola over both of them. And then I have DeGrom, Strider back to back. I think it's just a toss up.
Right.
You are a Nola.
Yeah, I can see Nola.
I have Nola at six, personally.
Yeah, you've always been a Nola guy, though.
Yeah, because he's amazing.
Yeah, but isn't he, like you have no concerns. I guess you can't. That defense wasn't great.
Yeah, didn't stop him last year. The only thing that could maybe hurt him now is the Bennett, maybe a little bit, but I still don't. I don't know. Nola's amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think this is actually one of those things where I agree, because I when I see these other guys, I think what it is, I'm afraid of Strider and DeGrom, but if I was going to rank these three, I guess it would be Nola, Strider, DeGrom. And I think DeGrom's the best pitcher of them, but I don't trust the health. That's all it is. I just don't trust it.
Yeah.
I think one of the bigger, like early, I've noticed this guy fall a bit sometimes beyond ADP, Zach Wheeler. I'm not getting it. He was like a consensus third-ish round guy last year before the setback in spring. And now he's kind of falling to like the fourth, fifth, sixth round sometimes. I really like Wheeler. I know I skipped over another guy we'll talk about here shortly, but Zach Wheeler going beyond these guys in like around 45th overall on average. But see, 62, max of 62. So it's like he's falling in some drafts.
So did I put this down wrong? Didn't Wheeler miss some time because of forearm tendonitis?
Wasn't that in spring that caused him to have the late start and everyone freaked out?
I felt like it happened.
Are you sure that wasn't
I gotta look into that more. I don't know if that was. I felt like when I was ranking him, for some reason I thought I read it was he had some kind of issue at the end of the year as
he
well.
Did.
Right. It was a forearm issue at the end of the year, right?
Was it? I don't remember.
I don't know if it was forearm, but
you guys are useless. You're supposed to be good at the pitching stuff, guys. I'm over here. I know hitter stuff. I know lineups. I haven't even dug into my starting pitchers at this in depth yet, and I honestly forgot. I even had Wheeler on a number of teams.
Yeah, as a forearm strain.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, exactly. that makes more sense now.
So that's why I'm surprised that I'm actually very low on him compared to ADP.
Well, that makes sense now. Now
I'm like seven pitchers lower than ADP. I have him ranked SP 18 and ADP.
How did I miss that?
11. And I'm kind of baffled that people are just kind of ignoring that happened at the end of the season.
Well, did he?
Like, it doesn't obviously always lead to something, but like, that's definitely worrisome. Like,
that's huge.
Before the season, now at the end, right forearm strain. Then at the end of this 4 weeks, so it's just like.
But did he came back, right? He came back and pitched just fine.
Oh yeah, he did. But we have to remember though, before 2020 and 2021, like Wheeler was injury risk, a very injury-prone player.
I thought the same thing, and you forget that in 2018. 182 innings. I just pulled this page up. 2019, 195 innings. It was the 2017 year.
Oh, he's that far back. Okay.
Yeah, and I forgot that. Same thing with Lance Lynn. I'm like, dude, I swear the dude was never healthy. And I look back, I'm like, this guy pitched a ton.
Oh, no, Lynn was healthy. He was just atrocious. But
no, but with the Cardinals, I thought he wasn't healthy with the Cardinals back then. I'm talking about like back then. That's why it's like I had to go far back. I'm like, I swore Lance Lynn was like another guy that just couldn't get right. And then same thing here. It's like, it's just funny that, you know, it just kind of, they all kind of meld together. Cause I do remember, I recall those rumors back when he was with the Mets, Wheeler, that is, with the injury proneness. And then I forgot, I'm like, no, he kind of broke away from that. It was the increase in strikeouts that caught our attention, like in 2021.
Oh, right.
And then 2022, it kind of carried over.
I do like him, but I think, you know, he's more risky, I guess, the rest of it.
Well, then you have guys right behind him, Scherzer and Verlander. And then Rodon and Bieber. These guys are all risky. Bieber's through 200 innings. I still don't trust it.
Well, I have Bieber below him, but I more so trust Scherzer over him.
Yeah, I actually do like Scherzer.
Just
I think
like
Scherzer,
skill set wise,
I'm enjoying Scherzer and Verlander in terms of values. And I have a couple of Verlanders already, just because they both fall to a point where I really like both of them. I do enjoy those price points for these guys, because I know people are fading them for the age, but I believe in 150 innings from both of them, and 150 innings from those two are better than, you know, 175 from a guy that might be like Kevin Gausman or Max Fried, you know? So why not take that? And then Julio Urias, I know Mike, you like him, cause you kind of see similar things in him that you do in Alcantara in terms of skill set, right?
Yeah. I feel like he's literally Alcantara light almost,
with more win potential,
insanely good ratios. I put the stat down, 495 innings pitch. He has a 2.63 ERA and a 1.02, just like insane.
Yeah.
But no, you know, the strikeouts aren't really there. So I have him ranked 10 and ADP has him as well.
And George, out of all these names, Urias, Wheeler, Scherzer, Verlander, and Rodon, are there any, is there anybody in this tier, or Bieber too, sorry, is there anybody in this tier that you kind of like more than others that you've targeted, or you kind of just avoid all these guys right here? Because this is one of those either you're in or you're out tiers, I feel like, in this area.
Yeah. No, I've taken Rodon in a draft. I've taken Rodon. I mean, Urias is probably as safe as they come too. I mean, he's not going to have, you know, 220 innings. So he's probably still going to fall behind Alcantara in strikeouts by like a good 30, 40 strikeouts. But yeah, I mean, it's spot on. He's as safe as they come as far as ratios go. And they're going to be among the best ratios in the league. So I think he's really good there. And like, maybe if you double tap pitchers there, and you grab like a Rodon who can get you those 220, 230 strikeouts, like that's probably pretty good. Not a bad strategy there.
Okay, so we can move on from, where do you think he signs? Where does Rodon sign?
The Rangers, they're signing everybody.
I love it. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. I love how people cry, bitch, and moan about, and excuse the language because we don't curse often on this podcast, but it's frustrating that people just cry about how teams don't spend, but when the Rangers do, everyone just mocks them. Like, good for them, man. They're a team that no one expected them to come out and spend like they have been. And man, they've made it so much more fun in that division, because you have the Angels, who always on paper look good but can't stay healthy for more than 20 games as a team. And then you have the Astros, who are the Astros, but minus Verlander now, gain Abreu, but Abreu's older. You get my point, though. It's a great lineup.
All right, Hunter Brown's better, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, you
get my point, though. Like, why are people so upset with the, like, people want this, and then the Rangers do it, and everyone just mocks them, laughs at them, and no one seems to be happy about it. I'm loving this.
Yeah, good for them, man. It's not our money, right?
That's another thing. Good. Spend it. Billionaire owners, fucking spend it, dude.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get why some people get so like,
it's bad money, bad contract.
The amounts. Right. Yeah. Like the years I kind of care about, but
they have
the money to spend it.
I think here's the thing, though. There's people like us that will say this, but like in a way of like not trying to say, hey, don't go spend this money. It's more of like I'm surprised they did it because of X, Y, and Z factors. Then there's people that are just like, terrible deal. I'm so glad they didn't sign DeGrom. Why? Cohen has money printing out of his, like, coming out of his ears, man. The guy can afford feed the world 10 times over, probably. Instead, he prefers to spend it on baseball players, which is whatever. That's his prerogative, but he does his money. But you get my point, though. These people have so much money, it's stupid. And who cares what they do with it? Let him go spend $90 million on Verlander. He spends more on statues and artwork. Granted, it's a freaking tax write-off, I'm sure. But anyway, I digress. Let's move on to another, like, now after this is kind of the last of that upper, like, what I would consider ace tier, like ace potential tier, you know, Rodon. I don't like Bieber. I'm afraid of him too. Again, it makes no sense after 200 innings why I'm fading a guy, but I kind of am. I've had no interest in grabbing him because I really don't see, like, I'd rather just get Max Fried, Castillo, or Gosman, which are the guys going right there, and Zach Gallen. I like that tier a little more, especially at cost, because you're getting these guys like 20 picks later on average. Is there anybody here? I know Simeone, you like Castillo. George, is there anybody here in this tier, though, that you are smitten with? Joe Musgrove's kind of at the back end there.
I might take Castillo over like everyone of the
No kidding, huh? You like Castillo that much? You're not worried? He's a ground ball pitcher with no shift. Like, you're not concerned at all.
I don't know, man.
Really good ballpark, man.
He's so what? It gets cold there too, though.
He's a really good I don't want to overblow like the whole shift thing with the guys that are like just have really good skills.
I
really like Castillo.
I do get it, and I'm a fan of Castillo as well. It's just one of those things where it's like I have a hard time taking him over that last tier with the Scherzers, the Verlanders, the Rodons, mostly because I believe those guys will be better strikeout pitchers. That's the thing. We know Castillo can be that type of guy. It's just that he's never shown it for like longer than like a 3-month stretch here, or like a couple months here. Like, he just, I feel like we've seen Castillo, like, we know what he is, and the high floor is there. It's just that I want these guys with the strikeouts and the other stuff that go ahead of them. That's my only preference. But I feel like I'm missing out by having no early Castillo shares right now, because I really like him too.
I mean, so I have four pitchers over a bunch of guys we mentioned already, like Bieber, Rodon, Reed Wheeler. I like Gosman a lot, Castillo a lot, Gallen a lot, and Darvish.
You're late on Gosman.
Like,
I feel like they're all being But I feel like they're all being under.
Well, didn't Gausman kind of have not like a fall off, but that first immaculate first half kind of like he came back down to earth and people kind of probably aren't like probably overreacting to it type of thing, maybe? I know he still was good. It just wasn't first half good. It was ridiculous.
I mean, everyone, we know how like inconsistent splitters can be. So it's like, why is it so why is it a surprise?
I'm just
kind of, I don't know. I mean, he was still really rock solid. There's no question about it. So I really like him too. And I feel you're right. People do kind of forget how good these guys are. So this is a great little area that if you fall back, like I fall back on this, I think I actually missed this tier on my last draft, but this is a tier that if you fall back and you miss all these starters, you wait on pitching, you double tap this tier. I think you're in a pretty good spot, at least in 15 teamers. If you get two of Gausman, Castillo, I like Gallen. I know you guys might not like him as much as I do. I like Gallen and Fried and Musgrove even. I'm okay with two of those. And I like Darvish to a point, too. I think Darvish is a little underappreciated, considering he just continues to do it.
Yeah, and I love Christian Javier, man.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's like right at the end 100%. Of this year.
Yep.
Is he like the consensus, hey, get this, this is the guy you should be drafting because he's probably – he has, I like, think he has top 15 upside type of thing?
Like right now he's SP25. I bet you he goes to SP like all the time. Like, yeah, I feel like he's someone who's going to get hyped a lot, deservedly so. But he's going to start to get it.
He's at 87 in this ADP, that the draft champions ADP draft season. So he's at 87. I that's going to go up 20 picks in maybe like in the next 2 months.
Absolutely.
He's going to be, you think he'll be going around Verlander, Rodon, or do you think more like that, the Manoah, Fried, Gausman, that
area? I think he'll be like right after that Verlander, Rodon. I think he's going to
So he'll be with
he's going to go ahead of Alec Manoah. Like I would take him over Alec Manoah.
Yeah, Manoah's going too high. I kind of looked over him. I kind of glanced right over him without – that's my bad. We could talk about him if you want. I just don't see it. Like, I'd rather have Fried, Gausman, Castillo, Gallen, Musgrove, and Darvish, and Javier over Manoah. And he's going ahead of all those guys, and I don't
I'd rather Manoah over Fried, personally.
I guess, but I feel like that's – at least that's a conversation. But here's the thing. I think Fried's going too high. I like Fried, and I think he's going too high. I don't think he should be above a couple of these other names you mentioned. Now, a couple guys here, Musgrove and Glasnow. Those guys are – Glasnow, I feel like, is – he's not really getting that discount I anticipated. I think this – I guess this is the discount because he was a top 15 guy coming into the injury this year. He lost to injury, but –
yeah,
it's a tough pill to swallow. Like I expected him to be around closer to pick 100, Kyle Wright, Logan Webb area. You know,
it helps that he pitched at the end of the year too.
Yeah, I know. So people know he's healthy. I get it.
Yeah.
Are you okay with the price? Are you going to be buying in here, or just kind of like?
I am matched exactly with ADP on Glass now.
so you're good with the price. You'll take him if you have the need. I guess
I would take him if I have like a really, I mean, if I had a Sandy, I'm no doubt going.
Okay, so is Glass now a guy that you will make a point to grab at least a couple shares before draft season's over? You think? Because like, there's a couple guys.
Not necessarily.
But here's the thing. It's one of those things.
Like, I 100% want a Javier share. Yeah. I want a Kirby share. There are certain, definitely. Glass now is not one of them.
Yeah. If we're talking like, a little later than this, where it's like it's gonna make a huge difference. I could totally see it, but like you mentioned Musgrove here, like I would just take Musgrove.
That's why, like guys, honestly, I expected Glasnow to be closer to Freddie Peralta and Blake Snell, where I like getting them where they're going. Mm-hmm. Blake Snell's a lot more interesting.
Snell's very interesting.
But we know Snell's good. He puts, it's like runs of really great performance mixed in with terrible performance and some injury. That's his season every year. But Freddie Peralta, do we forget he's like a season removed from being like a top 15, top 20 guy? I know he had some injury issues and stuff, but I feel like if you're going to take a chance on a guy bouncing back, he's at that price where Glasnow, like you're getting the Glasnow price for a Freddie Peralta who didn't just miss a year to TJ. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My concern with Peralta is that it's been the same injury.
Yeah. True. He's definitely high risk.
But at least the price is, palatable is my word today.
Yeah.
But Lance Lynn's another one where I'm really enjoying the price on him. People might not realize how good he was down the stretch. That's all it is. That's probably what that is right there. People don't realize how good he was.
Final 2 months, he had a 2.43 year.
And then you have a bunch of like here, insert glob here. So I think that's where we went beyond the top 20 ADP. Did I miss any guys yet? Robbie Ray, did you want to talk about anybody? Christian McKenzie, I think I saw you tweet about him recently, Mike. Yeah, is there anybody here you want to highlight on the like I don't want to just like think, all right, let's cut the show. If there's anybody here you guys want to highlight before I leave, before we get off, because again,
hit not to like stray too much from that area. Oh, not really.
Because now we're entering the big glob.
Yeah. The one guy that I wanted to make the point that's gonna jump in there was Javier.
Oh yeah, I was gonna go with him also.
I think we all were, and that's why I'm like, let me go down. I'll say Blake Snell just to be different, just because we know he has the potential. We've seen him do it before. And
I can see George Kirby doing it.
Yeah, probably McKenzie and Kirby will probably be the next two.
Don't forget Lodolo. Yeah. He's there too.
Lodolo. Yeah, that ballpark win.
I know. Hey, Chris Sale, baby.
Yeah. I really like Lodolo, but I can't see myself. I'm probably not going to have much Green or Lodolo going in that. They're going to be
Green, I'm fading. You know,
132.
Do not like Green.
I'm not going to have any of that Reds pair there.
We know how good he could be. We get that, but a lot of it, I feel like he had really good matchups. Green, I'm talking about here. Green, yeah. Just, he only has the two pitches, and the fastball doesn't have that movement. It has the velocity. I don't know, man. I'm not. You know a guy I do like that I feel like he's going to gain a lot of healing? Two players. Well, one's a prospect. One's a top prospect. The other one is just a former top prospect for Miami. I'm not sure I don't know if he's a prospect anymore. But Grayson Rodriguez and Edward Cabrera, both of these guys going a little farther down. We're talking about ceilings. We're talking about upside. These guys have that strikeout upside, top end of the rotation type upside. Both these guys going so late that they're worth the risk there, especially rumor is Rodriguez is going to be breaking camp with the Orioles. So
yeah.
Top prospect. I feel like him or John Gray.
Yeah,
I
don't
think
but
that shouldn't be a conversation in my opinion.
Problem with Grayson is he's only most he's ever thrown. It's like 100 innings.
Okay. So like, give me 120 out of him. Well, that's fine.
Yeah. I just think he's going too high for that inning output personally.
I mean, I get it, but at the end of the day, I'm also, I think last year my biggest thing was being overly cautious, and I realized 120.
It really depends, yeah.
If you give me 120 to 150 innings from a pitcher, I feel like that's almost what you should expect these days and bank anything extra you get. Just because injuries, teams are more, like, they hold their players back, added days off. I just feel like that and platoons, we need to bring our standards down. The game is changing and we have to adapt our game to that. And I think it's hard for us because you're looking at Grayson Rodriguez that could pitch 120 innings and then a Frankie Montas who could pitch 160 right under him. And I understand that there's a huge appeal difference in those, but what difference, like, is that 120 innings of Grayson Rodriguez that could be really solid paired with a waiver wire guy or paired with a second guy off your bench over 160 mediocre, slightly above average innings from Montas, is that not better? You know what I mean? Like Grayson Rodriguez and a Kyle Gibson, if you catch the right couple months of Kyle Gibson, might not be a bad freaking combo compared to Frankie Montas, who you have to ride out the whole season because you don't know when that streak is coming. It's like three games here, two games there, five games there, and then six games in the shitter. Like that's where I get frustrated. Yeah, where it's like, do we take this upside here? Do we take the guys that we know can be difference makers, or do we take the steady Eddies? And I get team build matters at this point in the draft, but I honestly have, I feel like one of my things I've learned, at least maybe I'm making too much of a change in my prep, but I'm not being as safe because I've realized we aren't as good as predicting injuries as we think we are, and B, we're not as good as predicting innings like we are. Like I get it, you try to and try to do what makes sense.
We're not good at predicting anything, man.
Especially though,
period.
We're not good at predicting shit. I get that, but it's just, you get my point though. It's like we try and we often get this stuff wrong. The little things like that. Not like we can figure out guys. We know skill sets. We can figure out. Hey, there's a skill set. Hey, there's a trend towards this skill set. Hey, this team and manager does this. That type of stuff we can do, but when it comes to like pitchers and injuries and all that, it's really difficult. So I understand trying to it. I'm afraid that I think in the past I've been overcritical of things that at the end of the day, I'm often wrong about one direction or the other. And it's like, so I'm taking a step back and I'm trying to be less granular this year. And I'm going to see how that does for my drafts. Cause last year being granular the way I was, I didn't project any growth. Enough growth, especially in young players. I didn't. I let the underlying numbers speak too much in terms of just like who a player is, instead of like trying to project forward playing time. I didn't project enough when it came to playing time in terms of players getting traded, injuries, all that stuff that happens that allows these players that you think have no path to suddenly there's a path in playing time. I'm trying to be a little more open minded and factor these things in more that I previously didn't because I played it too safe in my analysis and in my drafting. I'm stronger. My analysis is stronger than my playing. I'm aware of that, but I'm trying to be a little more forward thinking this year than being playing it safe. You know what I mean? That's where I'm at. That's one of the major adjustments I've made this offseason. That's going to do it, though. I think I can keep finding things to talk about, but it's been a fun show, guys. Appreciate everyone. Appreciate everyone listening. Appreciate you guys for putting up with me. But before we go, no, we're not ending that. I'm going to play right into my microphone. I just got to find it. Let's see if I can get it to work.
Do you want me to do it?
No, I don't even care. It doesn't even matter. I'll edit that sucker in. I give up. Because I'm getting frustrated. Well, because I got my phone connected to this thing, and now I can't hear the volume on it because it's playing through that, but it's not playing through that because I can't hear it.
Do you want me to just play it?
No, I don't care anymore. Oh, but you said what it was, but it was the point that Eric did it and copied you and mocked you, and I freaking love it. Anytime anybody mocks you, ever since
that happened last year too. Remember that? There's like a thread of everyone fucking doing it.
Well, I did the cutout face. I did the face cutout of you, and that's kind of, you're welcome. That was still the scariest, weirdest. It was like
have it.
My wife threw it out, I think.
I don't blame her.
I had that thing for a solid 3 to 4 months hanging up right here next to my computer.
Blame her.
Well, it looked like the cutout of the face when Dwight carved the face of the man off. All right. Appreciate you guys checking this out. If you're still here, hope you guys enjoyed some laughs. Follow us on Twitter. Simeone's at SP Streamer. George's at Roto_Nino. I'm at Mike_Curlin. Don't forget to check us out on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/GTE Fantasy. Ranks, discussions, Discord, so much more coming. We'll get more into it as the season comes along. Appreciate you all listening, and we will talk soon.